Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would encourage you to take them and open them to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. This morning we're going to talk about an important subject for each of us individually. We're going to talk about the subject of character that matters. I guess I would be lying to you if I didn't say that this has been a somewhat emotionally exhausting week for me. Earlier this week, we had the joy and the sadness of celebrating the life of our dear sister in Christ, Jean Cook. And then on Wednesday morning, about 6:30, I received a text and later had the opportunity to go over and spend time with Peggy Bullmore as Larry drew his last breath. And that afternoon, then we took part in celebrating in the life of Claire Van Sickle's son. And then this afternoon, we will be celebrating the life of Larry. In each of these situations, I've had the opportunity to spend some time reflecting on the lives of these wonderful individuals. Lives that mattered, lives that made a difference. And as I was looking at the life of Jean the other day and talking to family and reading things and listening to people speak, I was just so impressed with that life that really makes a difference. And then the same thing was true in the last couple of days and even yesterday and last night and this morning in preparation for today. But in preparation for the day, I was also thinking about us today. And the fact of the matter is, all of us at some point in time, unless God comes and takes us home, all of us are going to be meeting our Maker individually. And for most of us, I would imagine that will include a funeral service. And I thought about that this morning in the early hours of the morning as I really was struggling with sleeping last night. I thought about that fact. What will they say about me when my time comes? Not that I'm looking for accolades, not that I'm looking for people to tell me wonderful things. In fact, I don't know about you, but I have been to funeral services that they stood up there and talked about the person, and I went out and looked at the name because I wasn't sure I was in the right place. I've been to a few of those. But do you think intentionally about character that matters, about how we make an impact on our world? I talked a few weeks ago about the idea that of this church, of the fact that if we shut our doors, would it matter to our community? Are we making a difference? Are we impacting our world for Christ? I want to take that and funnel it down now today to a little bit individually. Not are we, not are you, not is my spouse or my child or my friend, but am I living a life that matters? As I think about that, I think about words that we might think of when we're talking about people. Words like perseverance, proven character, tribulation, holiness. All of those things that we talk about and we identify as important. But I really wonder, do we stop and think about how do I incorporate these things in my life? How do I impact those around me? This morning in our passage of Scripture, we're going to look at a young man who did exactly that. Not in the limelight, not the leader. In fact, we know a little bit about him, more about his mother and his grandmother. But Timothy was a person who had an impact on others. And it's significant that he had an impact on Paul. We hear much about Paul, but Sometimes, other than those writings that Paul gave to him, we don't know a whole lot about Timothy. We never see Timothy preaching a sermon. We never hear one of his prayers. We never hear of him performing a miracle. We really, the only thing that we hear about him is he was faithful. Open, if you have your Bibles, let's look at Philippians chapter 2 this morning, as I want to begin reading in verse 19. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, the scripture is on the screen in front of you. Paul is writing, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Can I stop and say Timothy was probably not the only person in Paul's entourage. We know that Epaphroditus was there, and we would assume that there are others there too. And so he looked around the room, he looked around the crowd, he looked around all of those things that were with him, and he said, who can I send to these people that I love that will faithfully give my message, but will also impart to them not only my words, but also my heart? And he saw Timothy. And he says, I hope to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him. Wow. Of all of those people around Timothy, he looks at this one we think to be a young man and says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Christ. And by application, what he was saying here is, but I know Timothy is not going to look out for his own welfare. He's going to look out for you. But you know that Timothy has proven himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things are with me. In other words, to see whether I'm going to live or die. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will soon come. I'm hoping that it's not die, it's live. Think about this. In these verses that we read this morning, I think that St. Paul is giving us three character traits found in the life of Timothy that each of us should seek to emulate in our own life. In these words, as he wrote about Timothy, there are certain things that I would like to say when I come to the end of my life that characterize Jerry. Not so that I can pat myself on the back. I do want to come to that point, as I hope you do too, when you reach the, not the end, but the beginning of the next phase, to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But what kind of character traits do we need to demonstrate here in this day and at this time to accomplish that? Well, I believe there are three that we're going to look at this morning. And I think that the first character trait we see is a positive outlook. Is a positive outlook. Notice what he says. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you as soon that to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. In other words, I think what he's saying is, I know that when Timothy goes and when Timothy returns to me, he's going to tell me the best of the best of the best, that he's going to find the best things in you. And I wonder if in us, it's interesting that the word here for cheered, when he says that I also may be cheered, what he's talking about is the literal word means good souled. In other words, it means that an interaction with this young man and the way in which he communicates and the way in which he interacts with others will nourish, will refresh, will encourage other people's souls. Do I have that? Do you have that? That when people see us coming, They believe that their souls will be nourished, that they believe that they will be uplifted. And you know, can I be honest with you? It doesn't take a whole lot. You don't have to be the most intelligent person to do this. You don't have to be, you don't have to be the most educated. You don't have to be the most wealthy. You don't have to be the most whatever to do that. Sometimes you can do it as a child. After I left the Bullmores on Wednesday morning, I came in here to church. And I kind of called Julie and told her I'm going to be about a half hour late and to staff meeting. And I got in, and as some of you know, and thank you very much for all of you that were so gracious to me. Wednesday was my birthday. And yeah, I'm old. But as I came in, my office had balloons and happy birthday. And fortunately, there wasn't any of those, you know, chattering teeth or any of those things. But I was really encouraged, and my heart was really blessed. And then it got better. There were about 14 people about this high. And they came in. And I'm going to cry because that's how much it moved me. They came in and they sang happy birthday to me. And they gave me this gift that's in my office. And it was a heart made with their thumbprints. And then each one of them had made a butterfly with their thumbprint and putting their name under it. And it was in a frame. You want to talk about encouraging your heart. It doesn't have to be big things. But we need to be the kind of people that are looking for opportunities to be good souled, to encourage the soul of others, to build others up, to look and see the best in them. You see, I think our words have the power to encourage. And I believe that sometimes we don't think enough about that. Do we really think about the impact that my words are going to have on other situations? Sometimes I think we're pretty good at that. Sometimes I hope I'm pretty good at that. Sometimes I'm not. This morning, I was not. Darlene had asked me to do something with our grandson, stayed with us last night, and he wanted to watch a TV show, and I was watching it with him, and it's on Darlene's hit list of shows we're not supposed to watch. It's the Weather Channel, folks, but it was about disasters, and she doesn't want us to watch that, and so I changed it, and then I said, well, Max, Nama doesn't want you to watch that. And as I was walking out the door to church to worship with you, Darlene's parting words is, thanks a lot for being supportive of me. And I got in my car, and I'm driving here, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to stand before these people, and I'm going to preach about encouragement and realize that, you know what? In 5 minutes this morning, I had the opportunity to encourage and to support my wife, and I didn't. You have to be intentional. You have to think about this. You have to ask yourself that question. Are my words being powerful to encourage, or are they discouraging? In other words, choose wisely. One of my favorite movies of all times is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And in the very last scene of the movie, he's there with the knight and they're looking for the cup. And if you drink the cup, and if you've never seen the movie, you don't know. But at the end, the man is going to pick the cup and the knight looks at him and says, choose wisely. Because the choices we make sometimes can be life and death. Do you and I have the kind of outlook that positively impacts others? See, I think as Christians, we need to bring cheer to the hearts and the souls of others, not condemnation. And as Christians, we should see the hand of God in all situations. And in every circumstance that we face, in every situation that we face, we should see the hand of God in those circumstances. What would happen if we were all gossips for good? I read this, I was reading an article the other day, and I saw this and it jumped out at me, because we talk about gossip a lot in the church, but what if we were gossips for good? In other words, what if everything that we said was beneficial? What if everything that we said built up the other person? And in fact, maybe what if everything that we did and said was biblical? Look at this verse from Ephesians chapter 4. Do not let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I need to hear this every day. God doesn't say to me through his word, it would be nice if you said nice things. God commands me. This was a command that Paul gave to the church at Ephesus. And the reason it was a command that he gave it to him is because it's not exactly always easy to do. But he said, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for them. Because I think that leads us to the second character trait, is a selfless heart. A heart that looks beyond themselves. And you've heard me say this before multiple times. In fact, someone came up in our small group the other night and they were repeating it about two or three times. It's not all about me. But notice what he says. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Timothy had a selfless heart. Timothy wasn't in it for him. Timothy didn't think, what about me and what about my needs and what about my desires? He set those things aside. And I wonder about me. Do I have that kind of heart? Because if I'm to be an example to you and to those 14 little lives that come in and to my grandchildren and my children and my friends, it can't be just talk. It has to be lived out in real life actions. And I think that we see a selfless heart in Timothy in a number of ways. First of all, we're to promote Christ rather than self. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say to promote Owosso First Church of the Nazarene. It doesn't say to promote our community. It doesn't say to promote our family. It doesn't say to promote us. It says that we need to promote Jesus Christ, that when Timothy gave the good report was the work that Christ was doing in their midst. The selfless heart looks out for the welfare of others. It doesn't just look at ourselves. It looks out for the welfare of others. We have these young people that stand up here. And as I have said to you before, I say them again. Some people say to me, that is the church of the future. I say that is wrong. That is the church of today. They're part of us. Amen? And so we don't look just to the future. We look at our relationships today as mentors, as guides, as brothers, as sisters. And we need to look beyond ourselves and look out what is in the welfare, what is in the best interest of those in our sphere of influence. How do we do? You see, the selfless heart was given as the example in Christ. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 that we looked at a few weeks ago, Christ, being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a man and humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. It wasn't all about him. It was about the example that he gave to us of a truly genuine and selfless heart. But there's a third trait. Not only, I think, are we supposed to consider others and have a selfless heart, but there's a third trait, and that's an active hand. In other words, not just talking about it, but doing it. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has, what's that next word? Okay, two of you are awake. What's that next word? Served. He has served. And it's interesting that the word here, serve, really means he has become a slave. It's not just a serve like a servant at a restaurant where at the end you tip them. It is somebody that For a slave in this day, and when these people read this word serve or slave, they got a whole different context than we may have when we think of the word serve and being a server. In other words, a servant there, a slave there, had no rights of their own. They had one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to serve the rights of their masters. It didn't matter if it was convenient. It didn't matter if it was easy. It didn't matter if it fit in with their plans or was in their best interest. They lived for the master. Paul said that's the kind of attitude that Timothy had, an attitude that acted out itself in the best interest of others. A willingness to meet the needs of others without recognition. A slave has no right or claim on fairness or justice. How many times do we say, well, that's not fair. They didn't treat me right. They didn't do this right. They didn't, and the list goes on and on. If we are servants of Christ, it is us coming to the point of saying, it's not about us. It's about serving you, Lord. It's about living for you. That goes against the grain a little bit of what we have been exposed to in American culture. And you may sit and say to me this morning, why, Jerry? Why? Why should I have this kind of, why should I be a servant? You don't understand that person. Have you ever met some rascals in your life? One or two? Have you ever met a person that is like, I remember, I'm not going to say who it was, but I remember one day meeting somebody, and I was single, and she was interested in dating me. And I met her, and I go, oh, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you that I'm not with her. Then he gave me the perfect woman for me. And I say, thank you, Lord, sometimes. I probably say thank you more than she does. But, you know, why do we do this? Why do we sacrifice and serve? Why do we set aside ourselves? Why does Timothy have these traits? Why did he serve Paul? Why do I challenge you to serve one another? One reason, and only one. And it's found in these things that we're about to celebrate right here. The Bible says that on the night before Jesus died, he took the cup and he took the bread and he blessed them. And he broke them and he gave them to the disciples. And he said to them, take, eat this so that you have something to do once a month at the end of the service. That's not what he said. He said, take, eat this in remembrance of me. Because this is what I will tell you that I have found in these years of my life and my Christian life especially. I cannot do the kind of things that I'm asking you to do. I can't love tough people. I can't serve others. I can't set aside, it's a struggle for me, but I can't set aside my interest unless I focus on this. Unless I remember, as the old gospel song says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so as we come together to celebrate these elements today, it is this that causes us to do what I've asked you to consider doing. It is only when I see that person through the light of the cross, it is only when I see that situation through the light of Christ's sacrifice for me, that I can live these things out. And so, in a few moments, we're going to go out those doors. And I challenge you today, as I challenge you every Sunday that we leave this place, that we go out to change our world. But we can only change our world when we see people through the cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All. 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 Amen and amen.